it's never too late. Some people will try to downplay and try to, even with me, it said to me, oh, you know, go and get a real job. What is a real job? I need to be doing something that I can go to and give my 100 to.
Yeah. There was a big thing came up in the hairdressing industry about the silent haircut. That, and you booked it as silent. I don't like talking.
I love that.
You should have the intellect as a barber that you know when someone doesn't want to chat.
But that's not for the barber. That's not talking about a barber skill there. That's saying, like, for example, I'm autistic a little bit myself. When I used to be a kid going into barbershop, I used to hate it.
Came across LSB and Total Barber Academy, what I mean, once that popped up on Google.
What made you pick Total Barbers over LSB?
It was cheaper.
Hi, welcome to the Noble Barber Podcast. I'm Anthony Laband, and we'll be talking to various people in the industry who've made it and their journey and how they got here. Talking honest, cutting through the crap, and making sure your story and their story is heard to help your business and hopefully mine. If you haven't already, please hit the subscribe button, and I hope you enjoy this episode. Hi there. Welcome to another episode of The Noble Barber. I'm Anthony Laban, and we're here with, well, some new to the industry. We have three chaps here who've they're going to tell us their own stories. So let's introduce yourself. We can go around.
My name's Leo. I've done a 10-week course at Total Barber Academy. I then went off to work at Project Barber in Battersea Rise. I've just started over the summer part-time, now full-time. And yeah, just slowly building there, seeing how things go.
And you're a year in?
Year in, yeah.
Well done.
I'm Daniel Ward. I'm an educator in London School of Barbering. I got into the industry through a hair product company called Bloomin in America. Went to North Kent College, really, really basic college. Then went to LSP.
Excellent.
Hi, and I'm Courtney O'Shea. I started doing about a year's apprenticeship at Slider Carts. And then for the past 5 months, I've now been full-time junior barber. So that's how I got into it.
Brilliant. Great to meet you all, chaps. Thank you very much. I'd like to just start off with, what was your motivation? You know, what was, before you became a barber, what was it that made you kind of go, that's what I want to do? Because it's quite a, you know, all of you have made proper commitments to getting here. So can you remember what was your first point that you went, I want to be a barber?
I would say it was when I went to school. I hated how you went to school and, like, everyone be like, oh, look at the new haircut. And we, like, slap you around the head and, you know, real childish, but, like, that's what I hated. So I very quickly, at a very young age, like 13, was like, I want to make people feel comfortable in their own skin. That's what I thought of. I thought, okay, let's do this. And I went into a hair product company. I was like, how do you style hair? Before you even cut hair, first of all, how do you style your own hair? How do you maintain your own hair? So I learned about how to cut your own hair, like how often should you cut your hair? How do you style your hair? Why you should use a paste instead of a clay?
That. I remember going through that similar phase as well, where during secondary, I think it was, where I started to care more about my appearance and going through that similar stage of looking into products and seeing what product does what. And which one's better for my hair type and gives me the look that I'm going for and stuff like that. So, yeah. But I got into barbering. What got wanted to get me into barbering is just going to my barbershop that I used to go to. Mm. It was a Latin barbers in Old Kent Road. My family's Portuguese, so, you know, similar sort of culture and vibes. And every time I'd go in there, just felt cool to be in there, good vibes. The guys there always like, oh, you want a beer? You know, it was chill. I felt like I really, like, knew the guys in there. It was like more of like, just like, it's like they're your friends, you know?
Yeah.
And yeah, like playing cool music in there and stuff. And I really liked the vibe. And I was actually having trouble at the job that I was at before. I wasn't getting enough hours, wasn't really making enough money. And I remember going there and getting a haircut, and I was speaking to the barber just about what was going on, my situation with work and stuff, just talking about work, little small talk. And I never really knew how the barbering industry sort of worked. Like, how do they make money? Like, I see you doing a haircut, you're taking half an hour, 45 minutes, I'm giving you £20. Like, you're here, how does this work? You know, are you renting here, blah, blah, blah. And he sort of explained everything to me. And from that, I was like, okay, like, you know, like, it looks like you can make some good money in this. And from there, that's sort of what piqued my interest to get more into it. Mm. So I started cutting from home some time, but it was going very slow doing it from home, you know, nobody walks past my house and thinks, oh, there's a barbershop in there.
Yeah.
You know, so I was promoting a lot online, but online, you know, I'm not the best marketer. I don't know how all that Instagram and Facebook ads and all that stuff works. I looked into it, but wasn't really getting much luck, to be honest. And then that's what sort of pushed me to, I thought, right, I wanna do this. So let me look into, you know, like a professional way of getting into the industry with maybe a course, getting a certificate, stuff like that. And then that's how I came across LSB and Total Barber Academy, were the main ones that popped up on Google.
What made you pick Total Barber over LSB?
It was cheaper.
You get what you put.
Yeah, so yeah. For
how
me,
did you find it?
So I'm actually local, so I grew up like Camberwell and Peckham sides. And for me, I really enjoyed going to the barbershop when I was young. At those times, going to the barbershop was like a whole day event. Going in the morning, my mum's ringing my phone, where are you? I'm still in the queue waiting, because it was just that type of environment, yeah. Vibe. And then as I got older, especially going to a boys' school, similar to you, the whole thing of like, you know, if you haven't got a good haircut, it's noticeable. So then started to really take pride in my own image. That naturally came as I got older. And then later on in life, because I'm 33 now, got married, had two sons at the time. And I think it was, so I'm one of those lockdown barbers that some of the older barbers want to complain about, this influx of barbers during lockdown. But I started to cut my son's hair and I really enjoyed it.
Mm.
Although the first haircut was terrible, but I really enjoyed it. And also I'm very creative. I like using my hands. You know, when I was in school and education, I'm smart, but I was very hands-on and practical. So I just enjoyed, okay, you know, using my hands, seeing that this makes this do that, et cetera, and just that whole creativity. So then from that point onwards, I then started shadowing at a shop in Camberwell. And due to my commitments of family, et cetera, it got a bit difficult going to the shop every evening, et cetera. So then I took a break. Then an opportunity came up at, I then went to Slider Cuts and I'd book a haircut and just wait around and just watch, soak in the environment. Then started to sweep. Then, you know, the whole process of kind of like trying to be involved in the shop. And then, yeah, from that point, Mark just saw that I had a hunger and just said, you want to kickstart this? And that's how I got into it.
That's really nice. Cool, man. I respect that.
Yeah.
I think that's a really long process. Like, yeah. You know, and I've done it myself. Like, I know it's a really long process going from that junior, like sweeping my hair barber to actually becoming a barber. It's really hard because not only will your employer be like, that you're affordable, you get a little bit of training. And don't get me wrong, I know that Slider Cuts, you actually get a lot of training. But there's so many barbershops that really bug me that just like make you sweep my hair for years.
Mm.
Years. I don't have to let it go.
I mean, I think that we hear it a lot that kind of, you know, that course against this course and that course, and apprenticeships, you know, historically are seen as the kind of, you know, the golden way. But it's definitely down to the bosses. You know, we commit to our apprentices and we really make sure they get their training. You know, Mark's, you know, definitely on his training. And, one, you know, we spoke about you when we had Mark on as an episode. And I think there are good companies that do a good job with apprentices and there are bad ones that do a bad job. Equally, there are great college, you know, great schools that do a great job and others maybe not so much. I mean, interestingly, you've got that experience of state college as well. How did you find that
to North Kent College, that's in Tonbridge, and
sounds depressing already.
Oh, it is depressing. It's not, there's Tonbridge Wells and then there's Tonbridge.
Right.
So you have to say not the royal one.
Okay.
And the people start clicking it, so it's really low class. And I went there and I was probably there for about a year.
Yeah.
Well, I'd year there for a year and a half, and I had this, she was a good teacher, but I hadn't had enough clients. Like I did 10, 11, maybe 15 haircut stops. And I just left there after a year. I went into a barber shop and they took me to junior barber, don't get me wrong, just like you, junior barber, but I didn't have any actual quality. Mm. Like, I knew I was very good at shaving people's heads because my boss was bald and I bald his head like twice a week. But other than that, with a cutthroat and everything, but other than that, I didn't know how to do real haircuts. And I suck it out for years and years and years, well, year and a half. And I did hairdressing course on the side, same college, Lee Stafford Academy, and it was terrible. 14 girls and one girl teacher. And the teacher just didn't quite like me very much. And after a bit of time, I thought, nah, I'm going to leave, go back to roots. And I went through this kind of period of being, what do I do? And I've been at this point, I've been kind of following LSB for a while. I just did a hot towel shaving course with LSB. And oh my God, I learned so much. In 2 days of wet shaving with a guy called Sri, I learned more there than I did in the last 5 months of hairdressing college. And it was insane, the difference. He was amazing, very elegant, explained why do I do it. Where a lot of people just say, explain the steps of a haircut. You need to know how to fix your own haircuts. And Sarit taught me, not just why do you stretch for skin, but like how and what would happen if you didn't stretch for skin, all the preventions and then how to execute it. And that made such a difference. So I went actually and did the LSB course. After, I already had a level 2 qualification. I did the level 2 and 3, 12-week course. And it was absolutely fantastic. I went through periods of training outside of school. I read steps. I did everything I could. And I was already very, very good at the theory of it. But actually executing it, when I went out at LSB, I was so much better. Level 3 taught me how to elegantly pull the hair out. Why should I do a diagonal layer instead of just pulling out square? How do I connect it? You can like.
It's such a shame that it's the state colleges, which get this kind of huge catchment of the 16-year-olds who are leaving school without A-level or not doing sixth form, who are really passionate and keen to find something, that if they go into the hairdressing or the barbering courses at college, like you say, they can do a year. We've had a couple of apprentices that have come to us. They've done a year at college and they've done nothing. You know, a bit of shampoo, maybe put a few rollers in. And you wonder. So your only experience was LSB, wasn't it?
Total Barber Academy.
Yeah.
Total Barber
Academy. Oh, sorry. Apologies. That was this. We've had this conversation already about LSB. But yes, you did.
Yeah, my only experience, I'd cut on a few friends from home.
Yeah.
But it was mostly just skin fades. Everyone was just coming for skin fades. No scissor work whatsoever. So that was a main thing as well that wanted me to get into Total Barber Academy to learn the scissor work. So yeah, I went to Total Barber Academy and that's where I started to learn a lot more. We done 2 weeks on mannequin heads, learning round layer, square layer, sort of similar process to what you went through. And then after the 2 weeks, we started practicing on actual people that were coming in for free haircuts. I think they have some sort of website where people book in. They know it's going to be a free haircut done by
a trainee.
And that's sort of how the day goes.
Presumably you never did a plastic head.
No.
You are so lucky.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. I mean, talking before this, I mean, all of you had a bit of a challenge to get into it. I mean, what did you think was the biggest challenge to make that move into becoming a barber?
I think for me, right, not a challenge. My family's going to watch this. They're not. There wasn't a challenge.
No, but the responsibility.
Yeah, the responsibilities that I had. So married at the time, two very young children. So time-wise, you know, some could say, I mean, I even did. I had family members, not just family members, some friends, etc. That was like, why are you going to do this? Like, why are you going to do this? And I think for me, you know, it was a challenge, but I've got two young boys that are also watching what I'm doing. Do you know what I'm saying? So for me, I just said to myself, you know, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to show my sons what it means to start something and follow through with it. And also just to see how much potential I've got. And I think, for me, I'm also at a point where, you know, it's never too late. Some people will try to downplay and try to, even with me, have said to me, oh, you know, go and get a real job. What is a real job? I need to be doing something that I can go to and give my 100 to.
Yeah.
So for me, I think with the barbering, it just, once I got my hands on the clippers and I started to do some haircuts, etc., it just set a fire that's never really gone out. So
no, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel a challenge for me was after coming out of Tour Barber Academy, once I got my certificate, I actually waited a while for the certificate to arrive. This sort of, not that it put me off, but it kind of stopped me from, as soon as I came out of the academy, to sort of start looking for work at a barbershop. I thought, let me just wait for my certificate to arrive. And then I actually got the actual certificate. I'll walk in and show them, you know.
So yeah, at LSB, you get a certificate. You get LSB certificate off of the course, and then you get the official ITEC.
Yeah, actually, I got the one off of the course, but I didn't know if that was really valid in the real world. So I was like, let me wait for
that. But you had quite a gap between finishing the course and actually getting a job.
When I finished in November, I believe, around November times.
Of 23.
2023, yep. And obviously then you have Christmas coming up, New Year's and stuff like that. So I was waiting around for the certificate. I waited around for about a month. This took me to like pretty much Christmas times and whatnot. So I thought, I need money, man. I need to get into work. You know, I'm trying to get into barbershops. Nobody's really taken me. And this was one of the challenges because they all wanted to see like work that I had done. And I had taken a few pictures whilst I was at the course. But at the course, I feel like I was starting at a stage where I was still building my confidence. And so I didn't think my haircuts were great, being honest, when I was at the course as well. So, and I just didn't really take too many pictures. I don't know why. Thinking back to it, I should have. But I'm not really all like about the Instagram and all this and that when I was there. I was just there to sort of just cut hair and learn. So I wasn't thinking too much about pictures and stuff. But going into other barbershops and trying to get work, they'd always want to see a portfolio and whatnot, and I didn't have that. So that was a challenge, getting into a shop. They wanted someone with more experience and stuff like that. And so that's what kind of led me to starting to cut hair from home, to then get those pictures and then be able to go back and say, look, here's sort of my
work. But you did find a store that would apprentice you to, so if that's the right phrase for it, or to kind of help you improve.
So, yeah, so I was working sort of a delivery job, food delivery job for a while. And I thought, let me save some money. Christmas is coming up, New Year's as well. I need some money, presents and whatnot. And then I told myself when the new year comes, I'll sort of start getting into a barbershop. And then the new year came, I was still 50-50 about it, still working the delivery job. And then Project Barbers had posted on Instagram that they were looking for, I don't know if it was specifically an apprentice role or just looking for barbers. And I had messaged a few barbershops on Instagram here and there, but Project Barber was actually one of the first to get back to me. And I spoke with Connor, he's the owner of Project Barber. We spoke over the phone. And we sort of had a good vibe over the phone. I explained to him sort of my story and that I've been to Tour Barber Academy. And I believe he actually trained at Tour Barber Academy as well quite a few years back. So, because we had that sort of mutual where we both went to the same spot. Yeah. He was like, yeah, come into the shop and we'll have a chat and we'll take it from there. So I went into the shop, we had a chat, I clicked with the guys at the shop. And then he offered me like an apprenticeship. I had also mentioned that I do video, so a bit of video and photography. And I had mentioned to them like, oh, you know, seeing your Instagram, you know, I don't feel like you guys actually show like how good you guys are in here, like the haircuts that you're posting, how the shop looks, the environment. And I thought that was very important to put that out there. You know, a lot of people, when picking a barbershop, of course, they look at the haircuts, but they also look at the vibe of the shop, the environment, the barber's personality. I feel like sometimes, I know personally from my experience, I've gone to a barber where he hasn't given me an amazing haircut. Because we had good chat and it was a good environment in there, I'd go back to him rather than another barber that's given me a great haircut, but it was just dead, you know, like dead customer service. And
it's more than haircut these days. It's not just haircut, out.
Yeah.
No, but I think we speak that a lot about the soft skills against the hard skills. I mean, obviously, you know, that's something that you've now picked up.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't believe at Sliders that's not just ingrained into you that that everyone's having a great time.
Yeah.
From your point of view as an educator, how do you manage to get that across when you're training? Or is it much more focused on the haircuts and getting the skill in, so the hard skill rather than the soft?
What I explained even today to a class was that don't focus on talking at first. Focus on the steps of a haircut, because of course you're going to be nervous. Like the first time someone held a pair of clippers, they're shaking to the bone. What I say is, like, think of a 9-week course. The first 3 weeks, you learn a mannequin head and you learn like how to hold a pair of clippers properly and do a haircut in pairs. And then you go on haircuts by yourself after like week 4. And when you're doing haircuts by yourself, you need to be able to remember the steps of a haircut. So say more quality first and worry about the steps. And then when you're in week like 7, the last 3 weeks of that course, I would now focus on, okay, you're talking at the same time while you're cutting perfectly, but don't lose time. Don't spend an hour and a half, because you want to get this perfect haircut and also talk. Spend a bit of extra time, because no one's ever going to leave a course and think, I really wish I talked more. No one thinks that. You always leave a course and you're like, I wish I took more time to appreciate the learning. I wish I studied when I was at home so I could do better haircuts when I was there. No one in the history ever goes home and says, I wish I talked more. No one.
Mm. It's interesting, because even like being at Sliders, in some ways I was kind of like thrown straight into a deep end in terms of it's such a, like the atmosphere is just jumping. People even, so I started off doing free haircuts, and even during those free haircuts, the client wants to talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I'm going through a YouTube video in my head at the same time. Do you know what I'm saying? It's like, so you're talking to me. So it's like that whole process of like learning how to talk whilst also go through the steps, whilst also gauge whether you actually want to talk or when you don't want to talk anymore. Like it was a lot to take on, but I enjoyed the whole process of that whole managing that experience. And as you said yourself, you know, I'm continuously growing, but even I look back at some of the pictures that I was taking during that period and I'm like, oh my days.
I let them walk outside the shop like that.
Yeah, I let them walk outside the shop like that. But also when they then come back, I got into a habit of always asking what's made you return. And some of the people were even saying to me, look, I know I could go to another barber for a much better haircut, but you're actually talking to me and asking me and I'm enjoying the fact that, you know, you're remembering who I am, you know, looking through the database, I'll see this person, like, oh, okay, I cut them that time. Oh, I remember I did this. So when they come in, like, oh yeah, how was your trip? How was your? So it's like, I knew I need to ace the whole customer service side, and then the whole haircutting thing will just grow as I continue, so.
You said that about the Latino place you used to go. Do you feel that you could work in there now? Do you think you got your soft skills right?
Yeah,
you could...
unfortunately, the guys that were in there, they had a bit of a switch run. A few of them left, and I think the owner switched as well. So now it's not the same guys in there. But
do you give that same level of chat, and do you feel confident with your...
I think so.
Your soft skill?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. A lot of the guys that come to Project Barber, they're very cool guys. I've only been there full-time. I started full-time in November, so only a month.
Oh, wow.
So I'm still pretty new in there, still getting to know everyone, all the clients. But I've had a lot of clients now returning back to me, even booking in with me again and again. So, it's going well so far.
Yeah.
It shocks me how many people, like how many clients don't understand what they actually ask for when they want a haircut. I'm sure you guys see it all the time. Like, it's a very common issue. I had a guy yesterday, went to one of my colleagues, and they went on a burst fade. Said, I want medium off the top. What the hell is medium? And like, if I search up it on Google, it's going to come up with something. And said, nothing else, just burst fade. And she came up to me. She was like, anyone can you help me? So I took over the haircut. I did it at a demo in the shop barber shop. And while I did it, I explained to the client too, oh, so like in consultation, do you want it to burst all the way around? How far back do you want it to go? Do you want it to be quite intense of a fade, or a high fade? Do you want it to be a low fade, but it's more stretched out? You know, so many clients don't realise what they actually are asking for. And we as a barber just decide, do what I think best. Yeah. And that's where a lot of barbers mess up. Explain it in dummy mode and then articulate it. Okay, I'm going to do like this, this and this here. And I just explained it to the client, and then I explained it in barber term to my colleague. And it went really, really well. And at the end of it, he was like, oh, thank you so much. And he even bought a product. So because I articulated, oh, how do you want a haircut? Not only does that get me probably to come back to me, but he's also bought a product. He understands what he's going to ask for next time. He's not going to say the word medium, hopefully.
But I guess there is that kind of, you know, on a course, you're not going to be able to get that amount of soft skill in. You know, I mean, you've been a month in. You were saying you're 4 or 5 months?
We're like 5 months. But I think even with that, so I actually haven't gone to an academy. Do you know what I'm saying?
So it's very different. A year ago.
Even in saying that, you know, it's not something that I wouldn't go on to go and do, because I feel like there's benefits of all. But even when I have, you know, networked and I've spoken to other barbers who have gone to a training academy and then they've then gone into a shop, they've all, majority of them have all said to me like, oh my days, like this is very different to what I was expecting. Which then makes me think like, okay, if I was to then say, do you know what, I'm going to go and do an evening course to learn scissor cuts, et cetera, or whatever, I would say there's a bit of an edge in terms of I'm in a shop. So things such as, you know, trying to get clients or customers to practice on, I'm there.
Just add to your, add to your toolbox. Exactly.
You're 100% right. You're going to carry on developing your skills and you're not going to be shaky at it at all. So you're going to work faster than everyone else. You're going to understand what the teacher's saying to you and you always have a little bit more of a, like, insight of, oh, I wish I did like this the whole time. It just, when you go back for a second time or even the first time, but from an experienced barbershop, you hear more. When you first hear something, sometimes you, like a student, I tell a student, okay, go through that line and then square up and glide up. And I go home and be like, I had the worst day ever. I didn't understand a single thing. And I go to sleep and I wake up and I have a little insight. And I'd be like, I understand now. And it just takes time sometimes. But you wouldn't need that time to understand it straight away. That's beautiful.
Well, I think that's it. That is it. You do have to get your flying hours in. You know, you do have to, you know, you've got to learn how to cut, but ultimately you've then got to learn how to be a barber. That there is the kind of mindset and the kind of intelligence that comes with being a barber, which isn't just about what you do with clippers and what you do with scissors.
Even the interactions with other barbers, you know, the whole, you know, there's other barbers in the shop.
Yeah.
They've all got personalities. They all interact in a certain way. How do you then navigate talking with your own client, cutting their hair? There's shop banter. There might be banter hit. Like, it's just, it's a lot to take on, but I feel like, you know, it's a great experience. To be able to...
I mean, I've heard that quite a lot, that you kind of can't be prepared for the noise that's happening in a buzzing, lively barber when it's full tilt, all happening. You know, I've spoken to quite a lot of barbers who've experienced their first kind of Christmas season. And there's a lot going on. You know, talk about kind of overstimulation.
I say the best way to handle a Christmas rush is actually to rely on your colleagues. Like you said, you've got a bunch of barbers. And like when I want to like have a certain barber work in the shop with me, I make sure they have a different like personality to me. They've got to have different specialties. Like in the shop I work at currently, we've got like one guy that's amazing at heavy fades. We've got a girl that's amazing at colouring. We have a girl that is backwards, comes from like a Tony and Guy background, but all the backgrounds are perfect because now we all have different backgrounds. I'm not going to say the same thing. So we can all talk and there's a client that can pick one of us that's perfect for them. It's not just, oh, we're all the same people really, we're all the same personality, all the same background.
But are you finding yourselves now as barbers? Are you finding your own, if you look around your shop, do you feel like an individual or do you feel like, you know, you're part of the machine?
I definitely would say I feel like I'm an individual, but I also know that I am part of a bigger purpose, if that makes sense. So for instance, the brand, like Side of Cuts, the whole brand, I know that, you know, whilst I'm on my station, I treat this as my personal business here.
Sure.
But I'm also feeding into, I represent the shop, I represent my colleague, I represent, you know, the bigger brand of the shop, etc. And so I feel like it kind of goes a bit hand in hand. Really.
Will you go to like talk to your other colleagues? Like, what are the while your client's in the chair, will you like have a whole team of discussion?
Normally, in the, how it goes in the shop is there will be a group discussion, but the client's always involved as well.
Yeah. That's the best way to get like returning clients. They love that vibe when, you know, all the different personalities, all the different clients are talking to each other. That's the beauty of a barbershop. Yeah. Like that. It's a family, not family friendly, I don't use that word, but it's like a family. It's
kind of inclusive.
But I also think that there's also a skill in knowing that, okay, there's a group conversation here going on. Everybody else's client might be talking, but my client's not. They might want a personal conversation. And I feel like sometimes, not all shops, but you know, even from my experience of being young, going to a barbershop to get my hair cut, it kind of felt a little bit like there's more emphasis on, I am the barber. Mm. You're here for me, rather than the barbers are there to serve whoever walks through the door.
I mean, again, I think that's that kind of barber intellect that you know. I mean, there was a big thing came up in the hairdressing industry about the silent haircut. Did you guys see that?
Probably
that you could book a haircut.
Yeah.
And you booked it as silent. I don't like talking.
I love that.
But I always thought you should have the intellect as a barber that you know when someone doesn't want to chat. You should know when someone needs
to
chat.
So too.
But that's not for the barber. That's not talking about a barber skill there. That's saying, like, for example, I'm autistic a little bit myself. So like when I used to be a kid going into barbershop, I used to hate it. I used to hate the idea of an obligation of having to talk to everyone else. So that is saying, it's not saying, oh yeah, you're not a very skillful barber. No, that's saying anyone was welcome in my chair and I can sit down in a chair and not have to think, oh shit, he's going to talk to me. When he's going to talk to me, what am I going to say? I'm a lot better these days, but I didn't used to like talking at all. I used to hate it.
I've always been quite good at, you know, I think I'm with you on the idea that for me, the client's always the kind of center of the wheel. And then, yeah, there's stuff going on and everyone wants to kind of see a bit of action and buzz. And I've certainly got clients that tend to try and book in like the first or the last appointment because they like the place being a bit quieter and a bit mellower. And I know that. But I think as long as your client's kept in the center, whether you're, you know, and I've certainly got clients where we just do not chat. I know them really well. I've known them for years. They come in, but they're not talking. Certainly with laptop and mobile phones, people are sitting and do work while they're in. I was leaving to it, and that's fine. But there is a kind of intellect that I think you guys, as younger barbers, have you clocked into that? Do you have to? Is that something you have to work at, or is that something that's in there?
Well, I think for me, I come from a youth work background. So from the age of like 18, I've worked within the youth sector and then got into training and delivering workshops, etc. So I'm very used to like speaking and also sitting in, you know, rooms where different people are making decisions about policies, etc. So I'm used to that whole kind of like learning when to speak, learning when not to speak, reading people's body language, etc. So I think for me, naturally, you know, it kind of came in terms of being able to, how are you today? Yeah, I'm good. Okay. You haven't said, how are you? So I'm kind of getting the fact that you either don't want to talk or I might need to encourage you to have a conversation, but let's see how this goes. But I think it's you get by doing, don't you? It's experience. And I think that's where it all boils down to. It's like once you start doing, you begin to realize, is this for me? Is this not for me?
It's that awareness, isn't it?
Yeah.
Are you finding that?
I agree as well. I think it's just down to you to really notice if the client wants to have a chat or not. You know, if like you said, you've said, hey, how you doing? And just, right, you know. I mean, you can maybe push a little bit and see, but I've had cutting hair from home. I actually noticed from home, because it's more of a private environment, you do get a lot more conversation going on, because I feel like in the shop, especially at the shop where I am, we're all very close to each other. I can hear the conversation that's going on to my right or my left. And I feel like with a client, maybe there's certain things that they wouldn't mind talking about just in that environment at that very moment. They don't want to open up about it. They don't want maybe the person on the left or the right to hear certain things, you know? Whereas if it's just you and your client in a more private situation, private studio, or kind of from home, wherever, I feel like you do get a better conversation going and they do open up a bit more. But yeah, just I think
it's nice that the soft skill is really recognised as such an important part of the process.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Noble Barber Podcast. We're always looking for interesting people and interesting stories. If you know someone or you are someone with a great story that you want to share, get in touch and come join me on the sofa. Thanks very much for listening. I hope you've enjoyed the episode and we'll see you next time.